Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
Welcome to The Deep Dive.
Great to be here.
So today we're digging into some of the stories that students might be encountering in The Juice. That's the daily educational resource.
All right, lots of different topics they cover.
Exactly. So let's jump in. First up, somewhere pretty remote, deep, deep underwater.
Okay.
Marine geologists off the Oregon coast are watching an underwater volcano, axial seamount?
Yes. University of Washington, folks. They're expecting an eruption pretty soon, actually.
An eruption. And the plan is, what? To live stream it? Serious.
That's the idea, yeah. It's pretty fascinating. They have this cabled array down there.
Wow. Okay, but is it dangerous? Like, explosive?
Well, the sources say probably not. Debbie Kelly, who directs the array, points out it's under almost 5,000 feet of water.
Right, like a mile down.
Exactly. So that massive pressure means it's unlikely to be this huge explosive thing like, say, Kilauea on land. You might see some lava fountaining underwater, but not big ash clouds.
Okay, okay. But still active, right? I read they're already seeing lots of earthquakes.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds a day right now, 200 to 300. And they expect that to ramp up, you know, maybe thousands a day just before it goes.
Thousands. Wow. And this is about 300 miles offshore.
That's right. Deep stuff.
So you've got this intense activity, lava scorching the seabed. But the sources mention something else, too, something about life.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point Debbie Kelly makes. These deep sea volcanoes, despite the, you know, scorching lava, they actually release minerals.
Minerals that
feed whole ecosystems down there. So they could be major sources of life in the deep ocean. It seems destructive, but it also creates...
Huh. Destruction and creation side by side. That's a key takeaway, isn't it? How interconnected everything is, even way down there.
Absolutely. The dynamism of the planet.
So for a chat with students, the source had a good question. What do you think would be exciting or interesting about exploring places deep under the ocean?
Nice one. Opens up discovery, tech, unknown worlds, all that.
Okay, so from the deep sea, let's go to London. A story about a woman named Ellen Miles.
The gorilla gardener.
Yes. During the COVID lockdown, she just started planting things, seeds, bulbs, you know, in public spots.
Right, in those little neglected bits of land, pavement cracks, tree pits, that kind of thing.
She called it like graffiti, but with wildflowers. I like that.
It's a form of activism, really, gorilla gardening. Transforming urban spaces without necessarily asking permission.
And she started a whole campaign, Nature is a Human Right.
That's right. Pushing for more access to green space for everyone. Technically, what she does might not always be strictly legal by UK rules, but...
But people tend to look the other way, as long as it's not causing problems.
Pretty much. It makes a place look nicer, brings a bit of nature in.
It's a great example of how one person's small actions can actually make a visible difference, you know?
Definitely. The power of individual initiative.
So a discussion point here could be that question from the source. What's one small change you think could make your neighborhood a better place?
Get some thinking locally. I like it.
Okay, next up, a quote of the day featuring Helen Keller.
A powerful figure.
The quote is... Although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming of it.
And her life really embodies that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Born in 1880, then at 19 months, an illness left her deaf and blind.
An incredible challenge. But with her teacher, Anne Sullivan.
Right. Anne Sullivan taught her communication using a manual alphabet spelled into her hand. It's amazing.
And she went on to learn to graduate college, the first deaf-blind person with a Bachelor of Arts degree, became an author, activist.
Yeah, advocated for people with disabilities, other social causes, an amazing life, inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame.
So the quote and her life really speak to resilience, finding strength even when things are incredibly difficult.
Definitely the key takeaway, overcoming adversity. For kids, you could explore what the quote means using her life as an example. Maybe ask them about times they've seen people overcome tough situations.
Good idea. Okay, shifting gears quite a bit now. A new federal law.
Yes. This one deals with non-consensual intimate imagery, or NCII. That includes deepfakes.
It's a bipartisan law, and First Lady Melania Trump was a key supporter.
Right. It aims to give prosecutors more tools, makes platforms take down offending images faster. There are real penalties, prison time even.
The First Lady had that quote about AI and social media being like digital candy, but something that could be weaponized, especially against children.
A serious concern. And while states have laws, this aims for a stronger federal approach.
True. Though, the sources did mention some concerns from groups like the EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, and the Center for Democracy and Technology.
What were their main points?
Mostly about the potential for overreach, worrying that platforms might take down legal content just to be safe.
Ah, okay. Like an unintended consequence.
Exactly. And there was also some mention in the source about potential political uses, referencing a comment attributed to President Trump.
So it's complicated. Regulating new tech, balancing protection with free expression. Different views on the best way.
It really is. It's a sensitive topic for students, obviously.
For sure. The source suggested framing it around online respect, using the question, how would you feel if someone shared something about you online without asking first?
That grounds it in consent and privacy. Good approach. Digital citizenship.
Okay, from law to physics. And something kind of unbelievable.
Turning lead into gold.
Yes. Sounds like alchemy, right? But scientists in Switzerland apparently did it accidentally.
Yeah, the Large Hadron Collider, yeah.
Yeah.
Project Alice, it wasn't the goal, though.
So what happened? Lead is atomic number 82, gold is 79.
Right. They were smashing lead atoms together at almost the speed of light for, you know, other physics reasons studying the early universe.
Okay.
But sometimes the atoms didn't collide head on. They just whizzed past each other really closely. And the electromagnetic field created was so intense.
Intense enough to...
to actually rip three protons clean off the nucleus of some lead atoms.
Wow. So 82 protons minus three protons equals 79 protons. Gold.
Bingo. Lead becomes gold. Now, before anyone gets excited...
it wasn't much, was it?
Huh. Not even close. We're talking 29 trillionths of a gram. Utterly minuscule. Absolutely no commercial value.
Okay, so no philosopher's stone just yet.
Not quite. But it does show the sheer power of the LHC, its ability to manipulate matter at that fundamental level. Marco van Leeuwen, the project leader, was apparently pretty excited by just seeing it happen.
Yeah, the takeaway is really about unexpected discoveries in science, isn't it? How you look for one thing and find something completely different, something that tells you about how matter works. For kids, maybe that question. What do you think scientists need to learn or understand before they can successfully change one material into a different one?
Gets them thinking about atoms, elements, the basics. Good one.
All right, finally, a look at current international relations, specifically Western nations and Israel.
Yeah, the sources report some shifts happening, countries reevaluating ties.
Mostly due to growing objections over the military offensive in Gaza and the humanitarian crisis there.
That's what the reporting indicates. The UK apparently paused trade talks. The EU voted to review its agreement with Israel, specifically citing human rights requirements.
And there was a joint statement. UK, Canada, France.
Yes, calling the level of aid reaching Gaza wholly inadequate. They also stated Israel's response to the October 7th Hamas attack, which killed about 1,200 people, mostly civilians, risks breaching international humanitarian law, and is wholly disproportionate.
That's strong language. How did Israel respond?
Prime Minister Netanyahu, according to the source, countered that this essentially asks Israel to end what he termed a defensive war for our survival. The source also provides the death toll figure from the Hamas-run health ministry in Gaza, around 53,000 Palestinians.
And there was that incident in Jenin.
Right, where Israeli forces reportedly fired warning shots near EU and Arab diplomats. The EU called it unacceptable.
Yeah.
Israel's explanation was that the diplomats were in an unauthorized area, and the IDF is investigating.
It's extremely complex. Lots of different viewpoints and high stakes.
Absolutely. And it's important, as you said, we're just relaying what's in the source material here, not taking sides.
Definitely. Understanding these different national positions and the difficulties of international relations is probably the main point here.
Mm-hmm.
For discussing this kind of heavy topic with students, the source suggested a broader question. Do you think it is important for countries to speak up when they see something happening in the world that they think is unfair?
That keeps it focused on principles like international responsibility and diplomacy, without getting maybe too deep into the specifics of this conflict for younger students.
Right. A way to approach the idea of global citizenship.
It certainly shows how interconnected world events are and how different countries respond.
Okay. So maybe a final thought to leave you with. How do some of these smaller scale things we talked about, you know, planting flowers or even accidentally making gold atoms, how do those connect or maybe reflect the much larger, more challenging global events that are unfolding?
That's something to chew on. how the micro reflects the macro.
Indeed. Well, thank you for joining us for this deep dive.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice Today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.